B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week stuck out of here.
So we go to Tuscaloosa and are joined by Mildred.
Oh.
Hello, Mildred. How are you?
Pretty good. I've been hearing you talk face paper about John Russell today.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, I love my daughter and she's a lesbian and there ain't no need to get all upset because people don't like lesbians and all that. It just, I still love her and all that, but she's a lesbian, you know.
Your daughter is a lesbian?
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't know what that was when she first told me.
Well, how did she explain it?
Well, she said, it's like when...
Be careful, Mildred.
Two women like one another, man and a woman.
Right. That's a pretty fair explanation, wouldn't you say?
Well, I didn't know how, you know, you got the hecka, you know.
Well, what's that?
Well, I didn't know how you got pleasure.
Oh, pleasure. Do you understand it after the explanation?
But she ran it one of these old sex videos, showed it to me. I know what it was then.
Mildred,
the only thing I ever did was a menage a trois.
A what?
Menage a trois. But, you know, lesbian is just when you like woman and ain't a bisexual, you see.
Yeah. So, Mildred, why don't we just kind of bid farewell for the evening?
Well, I enjoyed it, Paul. Pleasure.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Give us a call at 617-779-0985. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to the station, 98.5 The Sports Hub. And get involved in the chat over there and watch the show. You can also download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, stream the show live, listen to our podcasts, read people's blogs, things of that nature.
I guarantee you, if you download the podcast and you listen to it regularly, you will get yourself a lot of
pleasure.
That's right. She didn't understand how women, poor Mildred, had never had a man truly take care of her. If she did not realize how a woman...
What about the bear? I thought that she hooked up with Bear Bryant, right?
Yeah, but Bear Bryant obviously was a selfish lover because, I mean, not even to understand the concept of how lesbians could give each other pleasure. Sexually, I mean, what it must have just been straight missionary and all her giving and giving and giving and receiving nothing. I mean, imagine living your life like that, not knowing that without a penis, a woman could be stimulated.
She kept dreaming about the bear. Mildred is not around anymore. She passed away probably 10 minutes after that phone call. But she was a regular phone caller, or a regular caller, rather, to the Feinbaum Show, which I still contend is the easiest gig in all of radio. Just a show that is in all of the buttholes of the South, and everyone calls in to talk about college football and yell at each other. And I still contend that it's a show that's never been streamed before, only listened to through traditional radio, and that is it. And Paul Feinbaum does the best job. He just sits there and lets them do their thing and lets them talk, and God bless them, because that has got to be the, it's just like, you know, mining for, it's like shooting fish in a barrel when you got a show like that.
Yeah, and, you know, the most sports talk radio hosts would have the instinct, especially nationally, just to hang up on her and all this, but Feinbaum is very intelligent in that he lets everything breathe. He allows these people plenty of time to talk. He doesn't interject, and he let Mildred go. He had faith, because if you think about most of the national hosts, I mean, they get all caught up in themselves, and then they would hang up on her. But Feinbaum, with the patience, knowing that Mildred would be FCC compliant when she talked about how women would give each other pleasure.
Pleasure. Right. Pleasure.
Pleasure.
I think that she died because it's funny. The producer of his show has reached out to me because he's heard us talking about it before, and he's actually a fan of the show. And we've tried to get Paul on before, and his schedule's been kind of crazy, but we'll get him on eventually. But, you know, he's given me a little backstory on some of it. He knows which people who call in regularly are alive and dead, which a shocking amount of them are dead. But I mean, it's, you know, there's real rivalries between some of them. Like, it goes away from them just yelling at each other on the air. Like, there have been ones that have confronted each other, I think, at sporting events before. And as you know from, if you heard last week, we played one Gators fan who was extremely upset that the Gators weren't playing because of COVID. That, you just exactly know the type of people who are going to be calling into Paul's show. It's just a treasure trove.
And we found out that content. We found out that Mildred actually did have sex with Bear Bryant. That through our research, that that was true. Mildred had sex with Bear Bryant. She was a secretary for Bear Bryant and had an affair with him. That is a fact.
Yeah, there was some book, that came out that kind of showed, like, you know, there loose evidence that she was real.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in the day, they were not rich, and they did not hide their illicit love affairs. Well, Joe Murray, much to the delight of the people on Twitch, I'm sure, is here today.
Oh.
I saw him in the parking lot. I guess John's kid is sick and has been tested for COVID based on that, him having the cold. And now we are awaiting the test results. And there was a sentiment that John was going to broadcast from home, and that was not happening. There was not going to be two people broadcasting from home. No, 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 no. So here is young Joseph Murray back in studio.
I got a COVID test. It came back within 24 hours.
Well, listen. Listen, let Wall Game have his fun.
I mean, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So that's the go-to. As soon as your kid is sick, it's right to the COVID test.
They just switched to the non-invasive one here, which is fantastic, because I got a test a while back too, and it was the one they jam all the way into your larynx, and those suck. They're not fun. But now they just got the one that you saw in Hard Knocks, where they basically just barely put the tip of it inside of your nose, and that one's easy as hell. So, I mean, it's the game changer. As a matter of fact, they hand you the bottle, and you do it yourself, and you hand it right back. So I got mine in 24 hours too, but they're not all like that. And I'm sure in a place like where John lives, where it's a little more densely populated, I think that it probably takes a little bit longer than a day, I would believe. I mean, I'm assuming so, because his sons didn't come back in a day.
Yeah. I've had the test 5 times, the one up your nose. If you're complaining about that, you're a puscator. Come on.
Yeah.
No, it's no fun. I mean, you'd rather not do it.
It's 5 seconds of what's up my nose.
I don't even think it's 5 seconds. Maybe it's 5 seconds. Mm. Yeah. I didn't have any problem with that. That was, you stick it up there a little high. It's all right. It's no pain.
No, it's not pain. It's just uncomfortable. It's something you'd rather not do. The other one's just you put a little dab under your nose and you're good to go.
Well, there you go. Well, John Wallach now, it's not him. He was told not to come in. He was told that your child is sick. Do not come in because you have a family member who has got the cold. So this should be an interesting winter as things go about, because I don't get paid if I'm sick. So guess what? you'll be seeing me every day.
You know what I got?
Come hell or high water, baby.
Last night I got one of those alerts. Like, you know how you get flash flood alerts on your
phone? Yeah.
Last night I got a COVID alert in my area, and to be cautious.
Wow. Yeah, it's like if you're in a red zone, everyone's phones went off. As a matter of fact, I was sitting outside, and I heard my wife's phone that's inside go off, and houses like around me started. I hear their phones started going off as well. But you're right. It's like if you're in I think all the red zones yesterday, you got a message, I guess, from the governor, kind of like one of those like storm alerts or EMS type thing. But yeah, that was wild. I guess it's because in Massachusetts it's hit like 4.8% or something. I think I saw on television this morning. So they've had to do that. Yeah.
Did you watch the thing the listener sent us to that guy talking at some think tank event? And he did raise one point, is where is the, was the, and I could be mistaken, he probably was mistaken, but wasn't the metric that everyone was very concerned about that the hospitals were going to be overrun and that we were going to run out of ventilators and that people were going to be dying in front of the hospitals?
At the beginning of it, they said they weren't ready and there weren't enough ventilators, but there have been more ventilators now, yeah.
Yeah, but that was the fear. And since that had these hospitals are not running, they're not. I haven't been hearing a lot about not being able to take care of the people that need it.
They're filling up again, but the difference between when the first surge happened and now is that there's treatment.
Right.
Like the treatment's a lot better. You have remdesivir and there's things that have been known to help it. It's not guaranteed, but it's better than what you had before. And it hit so fast last time that they just weren't prepared for it. But the numbers in the hospitals are going up. Now that is true. I mean, the wave's pretty... It's not going in the right direction right now, but the good news is that the treatment is better for it.
Right. Because everyone crapped on Florida and everything, and I was like, yeah, but then I don't see their hospitals being overrun and thousands upon thousands dying.
Well, I think like 30 states are going in the wrong direction.
No,
right
in
now.
Terms of positive tests, but in terms of the...
Well, deaths are going up too, just as of this last week.
No, but in terms of surge capacity and things of that nature that was supposed to be the problem that everyone was super hyper-focused on, the guy's point was that the goalpost was moving, that was the main concern and panic. Once that was resolved, then the goalpost moved again. It was just interesting hearing him talk. It was just something that was sent to us that I watched. I did not investigate it fully. But I'll tell you this, as I voted yesterday, I did the early voting. I went to the library and voted. For Biden, I'm the only person in Newton that voted for Biden. Did you know that?
No way.
Oh, yeah. I heard that, yes.
The only person in the city of Newton that voted for Joe Biden. I figured I was throwing the vote away, but nonetheless, I wanted to be there at least in spirit. So there you go. When you see the results come up to Massachusetts, I'm the one guy that voted for Biden. You'll see that.
Were they all write-ins for Bernie Sanders?
Yes, they were all write-ins for Bernie Sanders and for the dead guy that was the congressman, Bernie Frank, or whatever the hell his name was.
Barney Frank?
Yeah, because you might as well not even vote.
The ghost of Barney Frank. Wait,
Barney Frank was winning. I mean, you don't even vote. I mean, Barney Frank, if that was like the big election and there was nothing else you had a horse in, because everyone else runs a pose in Newton. Like, there was the Senate vote, the presidential vote, and then it was basically unopposed. And then there was the thing to give the auto shops and you the stuff off the cars, which I didn't see a downside in giving me the information off the car.
The thing is you'll be solicited marketing. Whatever. That's a different story.
I get solicited enough for sex. People coming up to my door saying, T, please, please me. And I say, you want pleasure? And they say, indeed.
Pleasure.
And I say, I know how to do that. M'lady.
Nage à toi.
Me, Mildred, and lots and lots of lube, I would imagine. She was a very old lady at that time. All right, Rich, what is coming up? What is coming up in this stack?
Well, the Patriots are getting ready for a certain matinee idol to return to Foxborough. And did Belichick take a shot at one of his old players? We'll take a listen.
All right, there you go. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Top. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
You know, we've learned this year that there's going to be situations like that.
Now, back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last night?
So, as the Patriots lick their wounds from Sunday's disappointing loss to the Broncos, they turn their attention to a certain one that got away, returning to Gillette. Ooh,
so
Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick slowly lowering his shades and says, ooh la la, Mr. Jimmy G.
Now, if you had to bang Tom Brady or Jimmy Garoppolo, because Tom Brady was not always a matinee idol.
Mm-hmm.
He was never ugly, but he was never, certainly in Michigan and early in his career here. I mean, his hair is so dyed. Him and Ninkovich have gone full on, just dip your head in the inkwell. Ninkovich on ESPN looks ridiculous, but he has dyed his hair jet black and his beard even blacker. It's not real.
Well, I haven't noticed he's dyed his.
Oh, you
beard
haven't noticed it? Well, it's his giant black beard. If you haven't noticed it, have you seen Rob Ninkovich? He has a giant pitch black beard. I mean, it's something that whenever he appears on television, no matter who I'm with, immediately goes, "Wow, that guy's really dyeing his beard." If you haven't noticed it, then you have not seen Ninkovich over the course of the last 365 days, because he is a...
He's got full Walt Frazier, is what you're saying?
He is...
Full Keith Hernandez?
That is above Just for Men. He has... I mean, I'm telling you that he... And I thought about it because I'm like, is it... Because it's so obvious he's dying it, but is that a bad thing? It's not like wearing like a toupee or something. Is it... Because, I mean, it's obviously dyed, but if he likes the way it looks. So the question remains, because Brady, in his press conference, his hair has turned jet black, which during a football season seems odd that you would dye your hair to that degree. But nonetheless, Jimmy Garoppolo, a classically Italian stallion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's been probably good looking, you know, since he was in short pants.
He's got interceptions in all the right places.
That's right. So if I was in jail for the rest of my life and I had to have sex with one of them,
it's great. He's way more pliable. It's way more fun.
See, I don't know what that would. I don't know if that would matter in my gay love affair. If his pliability would have, because people go, they want to sleep with gymnasts, and I'm like, what would the girl do? Like, what do you need the girl to do so much? Either lay there or get on. A whole lot more going on.
Lay there or get on.
Like, yeah, well, like, what are you going to do? A handstand? Ooh, this is. Wow, sex was never fun before. Now this lady's doing a handstand. Or she's like, put her legs behind her head. Well, every girl can do that. They're girls.
Well, he is heading here and heaping praise on Garoppolo.
Well, I didn't get a definitive. Who are you banging?
I said Brady. He's more popular.
Okay, so you said Brady. Yeah, no. But you put a little joke in there. Who's more handsome?
I mean, it's Jimmy G, but Jimmy G gets the porn stars, and I'm in on that.
Like, yes.
Kiara Mia? Hey.
Is she the fat one you like?
Hey, listen. She's not fat.
Have you heard of Curvy Mary?
No, I'll look her
okay,
up.
Because I think Pearl Jam wrote a song about her.
Yes, indeed, they did.
Curvy Mary.
AC/DC and Pearl Jam got together.
Curvy Mary, all right.
So yeah, Curvy Mary is on the new episode of the Chip Chipperson podcast. Can you describe her to me? Because I have not Googled her.
Well, she's I only see her face. Dirty blonde?
Because, Rich, she's the one that I hear talking. She was on the Chip Chipperson podcast.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, no.
Okay, is she fat? Because
she's like very, very, very thick.
Okay, because because I don't mind a woman. I like breasts and everything like that, but I don't want them, you know, well overweight, you know, for my fantasies. Now, Rich, this Curvy Mary is where I told you where this whole ass thing has gotten a little out of control.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about that the other day, right?
Yeah, well, I was talking about this yesterday in particular. The things that people want to do with Curvy Mary are gross. And this is like an entirely new phenomenon. Or at least being in the mainstream. This was never a mainstream activity. So Curvy Mary, she's there. And Curvy Mary, in the back of the day, you'd go, this woman has, I mean, she's going to starve to death because she's never going to make any money. People are not going to want to see her make hardcore films. But yeah, here we are. Curvy Mary is on the Chip Chipperson podcast, and she's making a living having sex.
She's a 30-something curvy woman. Very thick.
Well, I got all that from the description of Curvy Mary.
Yeah, probably not for you.
There's someone for everyone, I guess.
Probably not. Well,
but I'm telling you that it's like a boom market for fat chicks. They're having the time of their life. Would you describe her as fat?
She's very thick.
Because she's got, I mean, she knows who she's, I'm not like talking out of school. I mean,
like Kiara Mia is very, better body than her.
Okay. I don't know.
So thick means you can see everything. It's just big. Like you can, like every part, like there's nothing covered up. Like,
I don't want to call her fat.
Yeah. Because thick is different. Right. Thick means you're built almost.
Fred
right?
might think she is.
Okay. All right. I have to, let me see Curvy Mary here. Curvy Mary.
But, yeah, like she has a few what do you call them? Love handles?
Let me see here. Curvy Mary images.
Well, it's like the guy who's a friend of mine on Facebook who I always see when he comments, you know, underneath the bear websites. Woof, woof.
Yeah.
There's a picture of one of the guys. So,
yeah, and you know,
well, there's some pictures, someone for everyone. There's some pictures of Curvy Mary where she has a really good body, and then there's pictures of Curvy Mary where she's very heavy.
Yeah, her Twitter is revealing.
Okay, yeah, because Twitter, you can get away with anything. You know who kicked off? Yeah, because you know who they kicked off for a minute on Instagram? Was Mark Jamelli's girlfriend, Tyler Faith. And for non-nudes, they cooked Tyler Faith off of that for no reason. But on Twitter, woofy, woofy, if you follow Saugus' own adult film star, Tyler Faith, on Twitter, I mean, there's everything. I mean, there's sex acts right there. I don't follow her on Twitter, but there's... I follow her on Instagram, but the sex acts right there for you. Instagram doesn't have that filter. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, Twitter doesn't have that filter. Instagram's very puritanical. But Curvy Mary, the hardcore stuff, boy-girl stuff?
Yeah, I'm kind of out on her.
Okay. Too thick?
No, I don't know. I'm just not.
She seems loose morally. For the hardcore actress, you don't like her morals? Joe's very tongue-tied today, Rich. He's not really expressing any thoughts. He thinks he's like taking shots at Curvy Mary.
No, she's just not my type, I guess.
Fine. I mean, Curvy Mary it bills herself as Curvy Mary.
I think she just like wants it and like shows it off and thinks people will like it, and I don't like it.
Okay, you want a girl that is like hiding behind some feathers, like shows
so confidence doesn't do anything for you.
Nothing.
That's like that sounds to me like she's brimming with confidence.
She isn't. Yeah, this girl's just like, here, I'm here, take me.
He likes the burlesque dances that show a little leg,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and show a little shoulder, and it gives you a little mystery.
I mean, like you know, it's I don't want it if it's that easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the most porn stars play hard to get, pretty good. You know, I have a feeling that a lot of these porn stars will have sex with you for money. I'm not. And you know,
those
Joe,
the movies that you want to watch, the ones where just, you know, nothing really happens.
Yeah. I don't want to get in any trouble because I know we're in a PC country. But porn stars, by getting money for having sex, makes me think that they'll have sex for money. But that's, I mean, if you go to Eros.com, I mean, I used to know a guy in Atlanta that would brag. Here's how dumb I was. There was a guy in Atlanta. Do you remember? It's not going to matter what restaurant, but there was a sushi restaurant that was kind of like a hangout place that also had music and stuff. And I was waiting in line to get in with this guy, and I kind of knew him, and he's showing me pictures, and it was him with this really hot porn girl, but I can't remember her name. It was, I mean, beautiful, beautiful. Brianna Banks, I think, was her name. And he's like, I'm having sex with her. I'm like, oh, my God, like, how'd you meet her in Atlanta? And he's like, oh, no, you, like, pay her to have sex. And I'm like, wait. And it was really to me, I was like, wait, you can pay these porn stars to have sex with you? And he's like, oh, yeah, there's a website. And it was, like, mind-boggling to me. I was like, oh, my God. You're having sex with these porn stars. There's a website and everything. And then, now that I think of it being 20 years older, I think, yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. That they're having sex on film, you would figure that for money, you would have sex not on film. And then why is it legal to have sex on film, but not off film? You're getting paid either way.
Like, there's these OnlyFans now and Cam Soda and all that.
Well, Kirby Murray, according to the Chip Chipperson podcast, has a OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, yeah.
Yeah. So...
what is it, what is the OnlyFans? I've read about it, but is it like a,
I don't know much about it, but I believe you can have your own website to solicit money for.
Well, yeah, what I'm guessing OnlyFans is that it's like a web, it's like Cameo in that you get,
yes,
that it's like they host your website and you can probably get them to make videos where they say your name and stuff.
Okay.
Because you don't know this, Richard, and I haven't used it yet either, and I got to whip myself with a wet noodle, but we have, you know, we have access to Chatterbait. Mr. Skin gave us access to Chatterbait.
Oh, yes.
Because it's under the umbrella of Mr. Skin. Now, Chatterbait.
I don't think we've had him on in like 2 years.
Nah, there's
oh,
no
he'd be great with the whole COVID stuff.
There's
people
no
home.
There's no point in Mr. Skin anymore. There's the internet.
I don't know. But people are home, man. They got nothing to do.
I don't know.
We got to try something new.
His book is one of the... if you're just going to put something in the bathroom just to read, and no, like, wink, wink. If you just want something to read that's funny... I mean, his Mr. Skin encyclopedia, just the way he talked. I mean, he must have said...
the puns are through the roof.
Did you see the sheet that Doc Emmerich had of all the ways he could describe a pass, like words he used for like a pass in hockey?
Yeah, he shimmied it.
Yeah,
he skirted it. Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So take that and times it by 100, and that's the words that he has for boobs, for butts... and then everything in between. So that book is fantastic, especially when you can tell he's getting tuckered out and he's running out of terms. Do we still have the Skinopedia? Skincyclopedia. He kind of
may not have made the move over from the other building. But
Bible. I read that every day in our meetings. Every day I picked that up.
You just open it up to a random page and be like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that, it didn't care about the movie. It was just like a random page. Yeah, it's funny. That was good stuff. Yeah, Mr. Skin, I kind of didn't take him the last few times we were offered him because, you know, there is the internet and everything. So I figure you can see these chicks naked if you want to. But you can't get the Chappelle Show musical guests. Found that out yesterday. Tried to find Slum Village. All right, Rich, we'll talk about Garoppolo coming to town. We'll talk about how Bill Belichick loves... other tight ends. He is cheating on Gronkowski. All those things and more about Curvy Mary. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Matt this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Nine 8 5 the Sports Hub. We're touching on Rich. I was just showing Joe Murray, the Mike Flowers cover of Wonderwall. Big hit in Britain.
Best cover of Wonderwall is Ryan Adams. He kills it. That's an excellent one. I have not heard that one, though. I will take a listen.
It's more the video. It's one of those, like, retro guy things. He also does Light My Fire, which exposes how terrible the Doors were, which is the Doors.
Ooh. Light My Fire is a good song. And yeah. I know you don't like Jim Morrison, but I mean, yeah, they have some good songs despite him being a
Krieger
tool.
Krieger wrote that song.
Who?
Bobby Krieger.
Keyboardist.
Yeah. Okay.
But what I'm saying is that he like wrote it, and it was just, it was, he like sang the song. That was it. I mean, that was all Jim Morrison did was sing that song.
Yeah, Jim Morrison, if you ever see The Doors, it's considered the seminal concert, them at the Hollywood Pops. And I thought it was a Tim and Eric thing. I swear to God, I thought it was a Tim and Eric thing because I turned it on. And it's like Jim Morrison, and he's, you know, all drunk and stupid. And he's like the least fun drunk of all time. And he's sitting there and he's like, oh no. And he's like looking and then going 15 minutes ago. And then he finally just pulls this like note out of his pocket of his stupid crap poetry, pseudo intellectual piece of garbage. Believe me, if he didn't look the way he looked, well, that guy, you know what that guy probably had to do for his record deal? Oh, the humiliation. No wonder he died in the bathroom.
I don't know. Rich, you might probably more of a music guy than me. I do think he had talent. He just wasn't.
Jim Morrison?
I loved his voice. His lyrics are stupid as anything, but I love the guy's voice.
Listen, if he looked like Ed Sheeran, you would never have heard of him. He was, if you read anything about that time, dudes would screw with Jim Morrison. They, who was the girl that was in The Velvet Underground, Nico. So they bring Jim Morrison, one of those producer guys, like one of the big record guys, had a documentary about him. And for a joke, he had Nico staying at his house in L.A. So he brought Jim Morrison over just to see what would happen. And Jim Morrison's all drunk on the roof, like threatening to kill himself because he knew the two of those. And she's crying. And he knew those two idiots were just going to get together and have a big idiot sandwich because they were beautiful looking people that were play toys of the rich and it was almost like a dinner for schmucks. They made those people feel like they had something going for them because they either wanted to sleep with them or just wanted to see what would happen because they were such idiots.
He had a great voice, though. Like, his voice was
really
good. If
he looked like Ed Sheeran, you would have never heard of him.
I thought he had a great voice. He was a good front man for that band.
He was a good front man if you like guys who can't stand there.
But I like The Replacements, and what's his name can hardly stand up during half his shows.
Paul Westerberg also is a brilliant lyricist.
Yeah, he is. No, I'm not comparing. Listen, Jim Morrison's lyrics are really stupid. But then again, I've said before, the lyrics are the last thing I listen to in a song, and I think The Doors are pretty good.
Not if you if you bestow upon someone like this crown of poetry greatness, which people seem to do with Jim Morrison.
That is true. Yes, he gets way too much credit for being a lyrical poet.
Val Kilmer was good in that movie.
Oliver Stone lost his fastball around that time.
I didn't mind the Doors movie either. I thought it was pretty good. I actually liked that movie. I thought it was pretty good.
It's so daunting in that you see the runtime of it and you go, eesh.
I can never take, like, what's her name there? Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan?
Ever again, but.
Do they show the Nico thing where he's like, because there's a bunch of him on, where he's like on the, I forget the name of the guy, so a listener will know. And by the way, shouts out to the listener who sent me the original pressing of Eat 'Em and Smile. I did not bring that up at all to solicit for it, but I put it up at Instagram at Fred Dutcher as a thank you to, I don't know the gentleman's name, but what a thoughtful thing to do. And I do appreciate that. And Rich said, Eat 'Em and Smile would be the third best Van Halen album. And, Rich, I double down because I've been listening to this song lately. Big Trouble would be the second best Van Halen song next to Unchained.
Oh, that's a hot take.
It is, and it's very me. It's entirely through my prism.
Better than I'll Wait, better than Panama, better than Hot for Teacher.
I thought I'll Wait. I'll Wait, by the way, a professional songwriter brought in for that, I realized recently. But the band was also on it. But, who was the guy? It was a famous guy wrote it.
Michael Bolton?
Oh, Michael McDonald.
Oh, Michael McDonald. That's right. It was Michael McDonald, which is a strange factoid.
Yeah, I mean, the guy could write a hook. And so, But I don't like Hot for Teacher that much. I mean, I don't like dislike it, but it's not. I don't think it like it sounds like it doesn't have the hook to it.
Drop Dead Legs.
Drop Dead Legs is a great song, so and believe great. Me, I considered that as well. I considered Always, and I considered Drop Dead Legs. I like Panama, but whatever. It's whatever.
But that's a classic song.
No, it is.
Think of it this way.
I love
how good that song is you and I have probably heard it 10 million times, and it's still good when it comes
on. Yes. Listen, I love Van Halen. I absolutely love them. But and these are all very – except for Hot for Teacher, which I'm iffy on. But
I love that song.
But I agree. The All Weight and Drop Dead Legs are fantastic songs, but I just like Big Trouble that much. I like Big Trouble that much.
What album is that on?
That's on Eat 'Em and Smile. Oh, okay. Big Trouble. Steve Vai, David Lee Roth penned Big Trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Don't know what the lyrics mean, but it seems like a pensive David Lee Roth, very pensive.
Is that
David
the one? Dun dun Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, kind of quiet dude, and he was supposed to be back at the house. The kids and the dog, and tonight we're Mouseketeers or Rocketeers, said Mouse. Yes.
You want to talk about good lyrics? Jim Morrison, shame that he wasn't able to write something like that.
No, he wrote The End, which was very deep. He somehow uncovered the Freudian or the Oedipal complex. Wow.
That's the most embarrassing of all the. I'll give you that. When it comes to Doors lyrics, The End is the most. Now, The End, the song. I love, like, I love that song.
But it's written as an
epic. But the lyrics are so embarrassing.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah, but that's a great song. The lyrics suck.
Well, yeah, when the big climax of the song where you're like, you're supposed to be, like, blown away. You're like, yeah, that's what an Oedipal complex is, all right. There, Jim, where'd you uncover that nugget?
Lost in a Roman wilderness of pain and all the children are insane.
Yeah. Oh, pain insane. Oh, that's quite the rhyme.
Summer rain.
Yeah. I hope it's not all in vain.
Ride the snake to the lake.
Ride the snake to the lake.
Oh, I'm picturing it in my mind.
The snake is long, 7 miles. Ride the snake.
That was me after a Mexican night the other day.
Well, you're lucky that you're that healthy. That's a healthy, clean.
He's old, his skin is cold.
He's old, his skin is cold. Old and cold.
The West is the best.
Really?
That's when it gets so bad.
Is he loose as a goose?
The West is the best.
Well, I mean, Dr. Dre stole that line. Obviously, precursor to the East Coast, West Coast rap wars right there.
That's right.
So, good for Jim Morrison for being horrible. And the Doors for just being off. And Ray Manzarek for not just admitting it. But Ray Manzarek sits there and still tries to act like he did something. Baby, you're not the Who. Let's get off the soapbox. All right. What do we got? We teased it. Bill Belichick. High praise there for George Kittle.
Yeah, so on the heels of that Izzo fumble, which was just gag-inducing, Bill Belichick, I'm sure, has tight end envy. And, you know, it's just someone competent he wants on this team. So I'm sure when he sees George Kittle, he gets a little overexcited. And yesterday, he might have gone a little further than just praising George Kittle. I'm not quite sure if maybe he was dissing a certain ex-player because he said of George Kittle, quote, that he's as good as anybody that I've coached. Or as good as anybody that we've played against. Now, Joe Murray, was he dissing a certain ex-tight end who left the team to frolic with James Corden and ruin the WWE there?
It's a kind of a shot.
Oh, it's definitely a shot. He knows
kind of a
that's
shot.
A shot. And he knew what he was doing, too. Bill always knows what he's doing.
He fancies himself an NFL historian. I don't deny it.
And
so.
George Kittle was, like, really not much coming out of college. Like, at least Rob Gronkowski, you know, was good at Arizona, didn't play the last year, was a second-round pick. And
bed bad.
You know, had it in his blood. George Kittle kind of came out of nowhere from Iowa, you know?
See, I've always thought that Bill has no reason to be pissed at Brady. I mean, I think that, you know, you could argue that he made a good decision. Like, you know, listen, Brady was, although you see him play now and it doesn't seem like he made that decision, but at the time, there was a justification for why he did what he did. But the Gronk thing, like, Gronk specifically left the team because, obviously, he didn't want to play for the Patriots. We saw that. He left and took a year off and forced his way off the team when he wanted to go back and play with Tom Brady down in Tampa. So I could see there being a little resentment from Bill Belichick towards Rob Gronkowski. Just enough to throw out a catty little comment
not
like that.
Scored a touchdown this week and him and Brady, you know, everything's fine in Tampa Bay and things are not great in New England.
I'm sure that they're, I mean, he's shown himself to be petty in circumstances after Super Bowls and things like that. So I'm sure when your team is completely anemic and a disaster at all on offense, and you turn around in the late game, he's got Tom Brady and Gronkowski ripping it up, that it leaves a sour taste in your mouth.
If we get downtime, we should discuss this Brady Belichick thing where they're at, like, every week, because, you know, a week ago we're all laughing at Brady, and then a week later it's like, all right, here's Belichick one week now losing his fastball a little bit.
I will tell you this, is that I watched Tampa Bay the first game of the season after watching, because they were 4 o'clock game, and I watched it after watching the 1 o'clock games, and I had happened to have been watching the most of the game I watched was Sam Darnold versus Josh Allen, and then turning on the Tampa Bay game.
I've watched most of every Tampa Bay game.
Hang on a second.
I've probably watched at least half of every Tampa Bay game.
So I had watched Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, and then turning and watching Brady, even though he was off that day, I mean, it's just like you knew that offense was going to explode. It was just they were off a little bit. Mm. I mean, Brady has the ability to throw, which, you know, and put touch on the ball and throw to the sidelines and things. And just after seeing Sam Darnold and Josh Allen heave the ball around and throw off balance, just the idea of a guy sitting in the pocket and being able to deliver like that, you still go, all right, well, Tom Brady's better than most everybody.
Well, Tampa Bay had a Happy Gilmore moment this weekend, you know, where he goes, uh-oh, someone learned how to punt. With Tampa Bay, it's like, uh-oh, someone learned how to be disciplined and not get a million penalties. Yeah. So if that team doesn't, like, because, you know, before last week, they were by far the most penalized team in the league, and we've talked about how Brady went from, you know, the least penalized to the worst. I mean, all they have to do is just clean that stuff up, and they go from being a really good team to being a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And they looked as good as I've seen them all season this past week. Yeah. I mean, they're getting scary.
As a team, they looked great. Do you think Tom Brady would have been able to do anything or win that game against the Broncos on Sunday with that squad?
Yeah, I think he would have. I think he would have. I mean, what you saw, by the way, that wasn't a good game for Cam Newton. Cam Newton, obviously, this year has been better. But, I mean,
Brady?
Has Cam been better? No. Brady's been better all season. But, yeah. I mean, but what you saw from Cam on, I mean, that's as bad as he's been all year. Yes. He's been impressive up to this point. So,
what would the Patriots' record be right now with Tom Brady?
One more win.
I think they
probably wouldn't have won. Oh yeah, they probably would have won against Kansas City if he was in there for that.
The Kansas City thing, the Kansas City game is what it is. I don't know how much that had to do with the way the game was played.
That defense just did everything they could to win that game.
But Andy Reid might play that game a little bit differently.
Maybe that's fair.
And just quickly, every week I'm like, Tom made the right decision. Well, he didn't. And this week I feel like he made the right decision.
I think that they certainly would have beat the Broncos because Tom Brady doesn't come out and put a performance out like that. And they either beat Seattle or they probably beat Seattle in that game, the way that was going.
No. A lot of that was Cam. Like, I think that's one of the few games you can say that I think Cam would have done a better job.
Score on that final drive with Brady would be my point, is that I like Tom Brady with the ball more than I like Cam Newton. All right, we'll be right back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.